Hello, dear friends. Colin Cook here, and this is How It Happens, a broadcast on the grace of God to men and women in conflict with various addictions, whether they be homosexual addiction, heterosexual addiction, drugs or alcohol, food issues, worry, anxiety. My friend, you know, we all need to know the assurance of God in Jesus Christ. We have a broken down human nature, and for those of us who have experienced one form of addiction or another, the experience of that is so troubling that it makes us wonder whether God could ever receive such as we are. The truth is, however, that Christ died for the ungodly and reconciled us to the Father while we were still enemies. This is Romans 5, verses 8 and 10, 6, 8 and 10. It also says that God justifies, that is, declares innocent, the wicked who trust in him. And so, you see, you don't have to be particularly good. You don't have to be of a certain quality. You are called upon to trust in the work that God has done for you in Jesus Christ. The news is so good, my friend, that the human heart cannot receive it. It has to be received as we are helped by God to receive it. The gift of faith is exactly that. It is a gift. It doesn't come from our human spirit. It doesn't come from our willpower. When you hear the news of Jesus Christ, you are receiving the gift of faith as well. All right, now we are looking, my friend, at the three factors that constitute addiction: the spiritual delusions, the emotional wounds, and the escapes from pain. What we're doing is just reviewing these three factors, because we talk about them as we weave these into the study in the book of Romans. But we've come to the end of the book, and I'm going to start all over again in a few days or weeks, and then we will see all of this integrated into the gospel. But right now, I'm reviewing these three factors: the spiritual delusions, the emotional wounds from childhood, and the escapes from pain. Now, remember, we have talked a little bit about the emotional wounds. If you have an addiction problem, let's say you have an alcohol problem, you may think that your problem is actually alcohol. Well, it seems pretty obvious to say that, doesn't it? But the fact is, it isn't really. The alcohol is not the problem. The alcohol is the escape from the problem. All addictions are an escape from pain. What is that pain? Do we ever think to ask? Do we ever think to explore? Now, from what I've said so far, you may think that, okay, the major problem is a failure to bond, because when I was a boy, my father died. He was, you know, you might have gone through the 5 D's. Your father was either dead or divorced or drunk or distant or dominating. Now, the truth is, my friend, that when those experiences come to us, we think that the only issue is that I haven't bonded. But listen, if you've had a drunk father, or if your father left home and was a deadbeat dad after a divorce, or if your father died early, or if he was distant, you're going to feel more than simply not bonded. You are going to experience, for instance, first of all, let's say, feelings of anger. But we have a very clever way of masking anger. A person who has an alcoholic father, for instance, who slaps him around and screams and shouts, has led the child to begin to hide his hurt and anger. There's no way that child can respond back to his father in anger, else he'll get clefted across the ear again. So he stuffs the anger. And that stuffing of the anger can take place, can be protracted over a period of a decade or more. So that stuffed anger is a lifestyle. This person has learned how not to feel, how not to experience emotions. So it is not simply that you are not bonded, nor is it simply that you are angry, but it is also that you don't feel you have a right to emotions. You don't feel that you have a right to express anger or that you have been wounded. And so there has developed in you a certain deadness of spirit, a certain low view of yourself. We call it low self-esteem. It really is the belief that you can be walked over, that people can offend you and you have no right to feel anything. Now, when all of this exists, my friend, you can see how when you escape into your addiction, that is, you escape from the pain by more alcohol or food or drugs or sexual issues, you can see that the passivity that you learned from childhood, how not to feel, the passivity of letting people walk over you, has now transferred itself to the passivity of your drugs or your alcohol or your food issues or your sex issues. So there is no assertiveness in you anymore. There is a passivity in you. One of the things that the gospel brings back to us, my friend, is a new assertiveness. As we learn by faith to count ourselves as righteous in Christ. You see, because the passivity that we learned in childhood has extended towards God. Oh, how can God love us? How can God think that we are worthy of his love and kingdom? And so we go through life whining and mourning that there is no love for us and no worth. But then we are called upon to believe one of those verses I just quoted to you at the beginning of the broadcast. God counts the wicked righteous who believe in him. He counts them righteous. They're not righteous, but he treats them as if they were righteous, even when they are wicked. Now, when you start believing that, you start becoming assertive with your faith. Your heart says, I'm no good. I don't deserve anything. And then your faith says, but nevertheless, I will believe that Christ is my righteousness. And you might get a shock when you hear yourself say that, like somebody splashing cold water into your face. You might get a little giddy. You might laugh at yourself a little bit. And you might think, well, boy, that felt good to actually assert that I am treated as righteous even when I feel so unworthy. What I have found in life is that faith is a real shock to my passivity. My natural state is to be passive. You might not believe that when you hear me on this radio broadcast, but I'm telling you, my friend, that when I speak and share these things with you, I am speaking out of an assertive faith. But my emotions very often are passive. Now, my friend, as we start believing, we start the heavenly truck rolling again. We start moving things forward. The wheels start to move, the engine's moving. We can hear the sounds of the crackling of the little pebbles on the road. Things are happening. Yes, once we exercise faith in the fact that we are counted righteous, even though our hearts feel like enemies towards God, then this assertiveness begins. And that assertiveness can then be transferred to the issues of your wounded childhood. You know, for instance, you might say, well, it's time I bought a journal. It's time I bought a book that I can make a journal out of, and I am going to start writing down all the painful experiences of my life that I have just let be buried because they were so painful. And as you start writing, you become assertive in that writing. You express what you wished you had happened. You express your anger towards your parent. You express, dear dad, this is what I wished had happened. Where were you? What happened? Why weren't you there for me? And Gradually, anger rises to the surface. You say, but Colin, I don't want that anger. Oh, yes, you do. You think you don't want it because you've lived without it so long. Life is okay without it. Not really. Life is a little colourless, isn't it? As the anger comes in, so will the tears, so will the pain. But it won't kill you. And you will begin to feel your sense of self arising again. Yes, you say, but what do I do with the anger? Well, you don't go out and shoot somebody, nor do you simply steam over it forever. You come to the place where you might just send that letter to your dad, or you might decide to have a phone call with him, a conversation with him, or you might actually go and visit him and let him know where you were in your heart as a child and what was really going on. You're not wreaking vengeance on your father or your parent, your mother, when you do this. You're not trying to get your pound of flesh. You're simply working out the anger issues. You have moved because of your faith in the fact that Christ has treated you righteous. You have moved from passivity into assertiveness. And you therefore start exploring these things. It brings up the anger, which actually increases the pain, but you won't die from it, as I say. And then you work out these issues with your parent figure or your abuser. There comes the time, of course, when you are willing to let go and forgive. But so many people have confused forgiveness for passivity. Forgiveness is a very assertive and vibrant and active and celebratory thing. We forgive because we know how hurt we are, but we are willing to let it go into the hands of God because God has become our comforter. Now, my friend, when you do this, a new life will begin to awaken. It isn't simple. What I'm telling you is not simple. Meeting the emotional wounds of childhood, though, will begin to help you to sort out the false solution, which is the sin issue, from the real problem, which is a need, an unbonding, and all the pain and hurt and anger of it, a need that needs to be resolved in good relationships through faith. Now, friend, in the light of what I'm telling you, I have a very important program to announce to you. Beginning on the 16th of April, the day after tax day, I'm going to do 7 Thursday night programs right through the end of May for you, group. Let's not call it psychotherapy. I can't call it psychotherapy because I'm not registered in the state of Colorado. I'm not a licensed counselor. But I will do more than any of them can do for you. And I assure you of that. I've had years of experience in this area. And so if you would like help, then you register by the 24th of this month and attend my Thursday night, 7-week, every Thursday night for 7 weeks, group, let's not call it psychotherapy, at my home at 7 o'clock in the evening till 8:30. Now, I'm telling you, 10, no more than 10, and no less than 10 must register in order for this program to go. 4 have already registered. We're looking for 6 more if you'd like to join. It's $20 per Thursday night, for 7 Thursday nights, $20 each Thursday night. So what we do during this group is that you share your problem, share your issues. Others listen in because they learn from your experience. I counsel you while others are sitting there and they are learning too, and then you listen to their stories and so on round the group. That's how it works. If you want to register, do so by the 24th of March, and I will confirm it with you. Register by calling 303-738-8694, 303-738-8694, or write to FaithQuest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado, 80160. Thanks for listening, dear friends. I'll see you next time. God bless.